Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here are your hosts, the one and only Dr. Payray and the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Hey, podcasting again.
Yes, sir.
I love this.
It's been a while.
Donnie, you've been on the show, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's good. Well, hey, this is going to be fun because we got lots of, I got a whole Nashville crew here. Why are y'all here? Shay, give me the lowdown. Introduce yourself. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so my name is Shay Talbert, and I just love connecting with my friends. So we got stuck in COVID last year in January. I got really jealous of all my friends going skiing. And I was like, let's just break away and go skiing. But no one could go skiing because they already had their ski trips planned. So I was like, dadgummit, let's go meet up somewhere. So it changed to Nashville.
You're in South Carolina, right?
Greenville, South Carolina, yeah.
Greenville is such a good town.
Love it. It's
my brother and sister all live there.
It's like a mid-rise town, and it's got so much popping and changing. Restaurants, mixed use and stuff, and it's just like, it's a really cool place to be. Location and just
some good breweries
currently.
There.
Foodie, brewery, everything you want is there. Yeah.
Tony, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
Tell us a little about yourself. Where are you from?
So, yeah, Tony Menito. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, the
Charleston,
Low Country. Oh, yeah.
No way. This is like crazy. So, my brother and sister-in-law live in Greenville. My other brother and sister-in-law and in-laws live in Charleston.
Oh, right on.
Over on John's Island.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now, Charleston's a great town. Obviously, the secret's out.
Great town.
Because everybody's moving there, which is good. It's good for business, right?
It is good for business.
Yeah, we need the people. But yeah, so I'm a private practice dentist part-time and an academician part-time.
Oh, you work at MUSC?
Teaching at the dental school.
Oh, jealous. Dude, if I went to MUSC, I would have never graduated. Donnie, you'd be in the same boat with me, bro.
Oh, yeah, man.
We'd be surfing every day.
We did a lot of surfing.
Trying to pick up chicks every day.
Yeah.
God.
100%.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Charleston was like, I left Clemson, which was a great experience, but when I went to Charleston for dental school, it was like even a better experience because it was just such a cool town.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
is. It's a cool vibe.
Yeah. Young town, college town.
And then, Donnie, you're Richmond, right?
Yeah, Virginia. Yep.
What's Richmond like? I've never been there.
It's cool, man. It's a good town. It's small enough that everything is reachable and navigatable and accessible. But it's cool. It's happening and lots of good food. We no pro sports, but we got some colleges around us. So yeah, it's a good time, man. Good aesthetics. We got a river that runs right through the city.
Great golf course, apparently. Great golf club. The home course, huh?
There you go. Home turf, man.
I'm jealous of that place. You get me jealous of like you're just after work.
Yeah, I'm
after work, evening nines.
12 minutes, tooth to tee.
Oh my gosh.
It's fucking perfect.
Okay, so y'all are all in town. We're at a buddy Darren's house in Nashville. What was the reason for get together here? You just wanted to come
down. I was trapped in COVID. I was like, guys, let's break free. And we were at that point where we were all getting our vaccines. And I was realizing we were going to be able to see each other at some point. I just didn't know when. So, you know, booking something and actually pulling it off is kind of difficult in this environment and current time. But, you know, in January, we kind of started a group text. And then here we are. It's been epic.
How did all y'all meet?
I think it was through Plan Mecca channels, right? Maybe a KOL meeting of some kind at some point.
I met Tony through Wally. Wally was my classmate in dental school, and so we loved digital everything. And so we went on a trip to Buffalo to Iva Clark, and that's where I really met Tony. And then, you know, we became brother in arms in different, you know, professional and personal ways. But and then Donnie, I met his RU NumYet courses, and that's actually how I met the other people in the room. as well.
You can say their names.
So Mr. Sung Kim.
Poor son over there. Other people in the room, they can't see them.
And Darren Clark. I met them on the porch at the Foundry, the golf course you're talking about.
Yes.
That Donnie was hosting his Are You Numb Yet courses. And like, it was life-changing. Stuff like that that y'all do at your retreat, like the Beyond the Classroom connection is so powerful. And it's just, that's so cool. That's why we're here.
I love it. Well, it's funny because my wife was like, who are you going to hang out with? And I was like, some dental people. And she's like, well, who are they? And I was like, well, honestly, you probably don't. I was like, you know Darren. But I was like, I don't think you know the rest of them. And she may have known Donnie or knew of Donnie. But
do you remember how we met?
It was the bus tour, right?
Yeah.
3D bus tour.
Yeah.
Some hotel.
Do you remember why you were there and basically how we got there?
No, that part I don't remember.
All right. So this is kind of crazy. I get a DM on Facebook to say, hey, you want to meet a 3D tour bus? I'm like, what is a 3D tour bus? And so I found out you were going to SeaWorld, and T-Bone and your crew organized a tour bus to come in. And you were in town Greenville, not to see Shay. Y'all were there to see Rich Constantine. And he had exploded after this, you know.
The dancing.
Cool dancing. And he's such a wonderful person inside and out. And I was like, wow, cool. Yeah, I'll show up. So I hit a couple of my friends up, and we show up, and that's a big bus. It was pretty impressive. So they're like, where are we going to park this? So I'm talking to Aaron, and I'm talking to T-Bone, and I'm talking to you. And I'm like, well, let's go to Michelin. Michelin's the headquarters for, you know, they make tires.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's a big parking lot. Let's meet there. I'll throw some cornhole boards in my truck, and we'll just vibe. And we met, and it was just.
Dude, it was so much fun. That whole trip was like, it was epic. I mean, like, I want to do something like that again. That was such a spontaneous on some level deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was fun.
How was the sleeping situation?
I mean, for me, I ate it up, right? I mean, like, I was, you know, I mean, it was like college. It wasn't great. I mean, there's like 12 bunk beds in this thing. So, I mean, it's not like it's like 5-star living, but that's half the fun.
Did you get a feel what it'd be like to be a musician?
Oh, 100%.
Exactly. You're going from city to city.
Right. That's what it felt like. Was like, I felt like I was in a band. So you got, right. you got basically, I think 12 bunk beds in this thing. They were triples. So you got a bottom person, a middle person, and a top person. And then you got there's four sets of those. So that's where you get the 3, 6, 9, 12. Yeah. And you get a little curtain and a little nightlight in there. And then that's it. But what was great was because we would typically drive at night because we had two bus drivers. So we would do whatever we were doing where we were at. And then we would just get in there and we'd sleep and they'd drive. So like, that was kind of cool. You'd show up and we'd be like in Florida.
Yeah. So I met your whole crew that day, that evening. And it was so cool. Speaking of tour buses, last night we were downtown Nashville and we were passing the Ryman Auditorium, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, that's like the original Opry.
Yeah. It's not the original Opry, but it's like the Church of Country Music.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, just kind of taken back just by the beautiful place it is.
Yeah.
And there's a tour bus and there's like some, you know, you see stuff happening again. And then we walk onto Broad Street and Nashville's back.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah. It's been back probably for a little bit, for better or for worse.
I didn't know that. It was like opening a door that you haven't seen for like a year and a half. I just opened a door, was like, my jaw dropped. It was like so
music,
many people
drinking
everything.
No masks.
Every bar was full tilt and a line.
Last night
it was early.
Oh
and
my I was, gosh!
Well, you know, it was crazy.
Come to Nashville. It's great. Okay. All right. So Shay, you're wanting to start a podcast.
Yeah. So I have no clue equipment wise how to do a podcast, and so I'm out here and close to you, and I'm like, hey man, let's pod, let's talk.
Well, Donnie, where's the Are You Numb Yet podcast at?
I dabbled.
You dabbled and got out.
Yeah,
are you
man.
Gonna get back in, or you
I
think
don't know. You
just
we'll see.
I'll tell you what, it is hard work.
It's time consuming.
It is time consuming. Were you editing your own stuff?
Mm-hmm.
See, I think that's the problem. So Shay, I'm gonna give you my advice, whether you like it or not, just because that's who I am. But take it or leave it. But I'll tell you, I think one of the things that has made us successful is since day one, I pay Pro Podcast Solutions, plug to them. I think I pay $60 an episode. $60 an episode. As soon as we get done recording here, I will upload this to their website and I'm out. They'll give me a title, a description, they'll edit it, They'll post it on Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you want. It's done.
Thank you. Yeah, because I looked at like video editing stuff.
Dude, get out of here.
And I was like, Adobe so Premiere. I was like, I can learn a CAD CAM stuff. I can learn that. And I realized I need to hire someone. You know, that's just too time.
And I do think I
too many rabbit holes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And they do it really well and they're good. So that's what I would do. And I don't know where you're at in this. They even do like a pretty cool starter package where they'll like help you create your little like avatar for your CD cover. Like your intro music, your outro music. Like they'll
My Carter IV Lil Wayne album.
Yeah, your Carter IV Lil Wayne album. Yeah. They'll get that all set up for you so that you don't have to like do it. So I have no idea how any of this works other than I hit record and we record and then I give it to them.
Well, to answer your original question, Launch Digital Dentistry is a company that I made just with some friends, just creative, digital, all things digital, whether we're hosting or planning or doing whatever. But you know, it's about launch basically means to me, it's just taking yourself, your team, your patients to the next level. Fun, engaging, just, you know, growth beyond the classroom type events. But my opportunity to grow with people I admire and who inspire me, like everyone in the room, just kind of pushes all my buttons. It just does. And so we get caught in ecosystems and I have branched out past my ecosystem of the CAD/CAM Plan Mecca stuff that I use. And I've found some of the other things happening. And I fell in love with August de Oliveira. He's been a great mentor and we traveled with the 3D printing tour. Met Todd Ehrlich at the...
Yep, great dude.
Yeah, in Austin at his Digital Enamel Academy. Met your whole crew with T-Bone.
Well, we're at kind of an interesting time. Like if you look on... one, I think... Gosh, you know, a couple years ago not that digital was starting, but when digital was like, it was starting to become more mainstream and the workflows that we were seeing were starting to happen, it was very brand allegiant, right? There was the companies had created workflows. So like Sirona, obviously where I kind of grew up in my stuff, they had their workflow. Plan Mecca, where a lot of y'all kind of had their workflow. Trios had their workflow. And so like a lot of this stuff started, they were isolated ecosystems was the word you use, Shay, that thinks it a good word. And we kind of all grew up in these, like in our early dental careers of being in these ecosystems. That's where, and then obviously with two things, one, obviously social media. And then two, just the progression of, because what's happening now Tony, I kind of want your opinion on this too, but I think, the reason it's happening is because the progression of digital dentistry is happening faster than manufacturers can keep up and get stuff out.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And the other part of that is you have people who are realizing that you can only do so much when you're contained within one of those ecosystems.
Sure.
And how branching out of that gives you so many more opportunities. And 3D printing is, I think, a big part of that because, you know, getting files in and out of software has become kind of a mainstream thing, but something that's so important if you want to do anything other than a strict linear CAD/CAM workflow.
Well, it takes a lot to, I joke all the time because I'm like, that's one of the reasons I like working with True Abutment is because it's a smaller ship than say a Sirona or a Plan Mecca or someone like this, because you know, to get DS to do something, that's like turning a daggum aircraft carrier in a direction, right? And it's like, it's cool, it could do a lot of stuff, but at the same time, to get them to make a slight change is like, it's impossible on some level. Whereas, you know, you call up Jay, you know, someone at Trubub and make, hey, and they can be like, hey, we can make that happen pretty quickly. And so I think that it is interesting how the pace at which we're changing is just different relative to the manufacturers. I'm really interested to see how they respond on some level, the major, especially when you look at the big kind of major players.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what it does to Sirona, honestly. You know, we all, the guys in this room are all sort of outsiders. It's interesting you say that your wife wouldn't know anybody in this room, you know, because it's we sort of live on islands sometimes. And I feel like that's kind of why we're here this weekend of... you know, you just don't get interactions with your peers. Like dentists all struggle with the same things, you know, and sometimes they just don't even get chances to communicate that with their people. But yeah, no, I wonder what it'll do to Sirona. Cause I mean, from a Plan Mecca point of view, what we, we feel like the company understands that we as practitioners want to push the limits. And so they're, you know, from the beginning, they've been a very open system, a progressive system that allows us to, like, you know, do things further, because that's where we're going as providers. And I feel like from an outsider's perspective, you guys seem a bit more locked in than we would in the Sirona world, because of the limitations of what all you can do within your stuff. So
you're not wrong. And that's, I mean, I'm so as of literally last week, I've got ExoCAD. So
right on.
That's sweet. Been the big jump for me, right? Is I'm saying, okay, because, and it's hard. Cause I think on some level, I think where other than y'all, the CERAC, Prime Mail MCXL, same day crown, is that workflow is so freaking good. So good. I mean, to be able to do a nice permanent zirconia or Emax restoration and, you know, an hour and 20, hour and a half, same day, is that's, to me, that's something that's will be difficult to change in the near future when you go outside of a workflow that's not built around that. I mean, I realize you could do that with ExoCAD, you could do that with a mill, but it's still not the speed at which we can do it is, that's tough to beat. So I don't think it replaces that by any means. Having said that, though, there's a ton of stuff that I'm limited to that I can't do, right? I mean, for me, it was surgical guides was one of the biggest ones. You know, I'm having to use Blue Sky Bio to do surgical guides, which is fine. You know, it's a decent software for doing that, but I think it's even self-limiting in some level. So I'm stoked to get into the ExoCAD world, because I think that's the next step. What are y'all teaching, Tony, at MUSC?
We teach everything, actually. We've got Sirona systems. We've got Planmeca systems. We have the Triost PrograMill one that we are using
When you get into design software, what are you using?
Honestly, we teach them both Planmeca and Sirona, knowing that they're not going to be really proficient at it, but just to give them some exposure to it. Mostly what we're teaching them.
There are so much... Yeah. Those two are, again, are quick. They're realistically easy to somewhat learn relative to, like, dude, just trying to install ExoCAD, I kind of got around.
ExoCAD is another level for sure. But we teach them more conceptually, you know, what a prep for a CAD-CAM crown would be, like adhesive strategies, materials, and things like that, knowing that who knows what they're going to, you know, have when they go into practice. So we want them to be ready for whatever, not be necessarily brand specific with what we teach.
What do y'all think about bringing in, I think we're going to see more designers in our future, right? Like, I think one, we're already seeing it in labs. I think we're going to continue to see that in labs where I'm paying a lab to give me a file, not to do the work. And then, AKA like TrueBob or something like that. But then, and then bringing that in. No, you're just gonna have to steal. Wonder if I can. We need like an extra mic.
Well, while you're thinking about that, I feel like I'm on the same train. Like, I bought the ticket and I got on the CAD CAM train.
You can go in that room and call in.
That's true. We're trying to like, we'll call you. Patch in.
We're gonna patch in, Darren. Let's do this.
So I got on the CAD CAM train, but then now it's like full force and you can't stop it. Like, now we're crossing the barriers and checking into ExoCAD and all these other things, right? And everything that's opened up for us.
Yeah, we're actually interviewing a digital designer when I get home tomorrow for the practices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that we sent Darren into a different room in his own home.
He's like in a shower somewhere trying to get acoustics.
Darren's now we got five on the show. This is great. Okay, so you're saying, Darren, what were you wanting to say before you? Can you grab me another beer? Can you be the beer runner?
Hit me one too. Yeah. Can I have one of your beers?
Yeah. Right. Just bring them all up here.
Just bring them all.
Thanks. So. All right, keep going. Sorry, Donnie. Or Darren, whoever was talking.
To the point that you made about designers, the group of guys here on the podcast, last night at dinner, we were talking about sort of how we apportion our time, and how challenging that is. We want to keep innovating with what we're doing digitally. We want to keep our practices moving. We want to keep doing all the things that we're doing, and we also want to have a family life outside of that. And part of the conversation was we were talking about how much time we actually spend designing things. how much time we actually spend, you know, in front of the monitor with our hand on the mouse doing that part of the work, and how challenging that is to find good balance with your home life and managing and running your practice and practicing in your practice all at the same time.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, so like these guys, Darren and Shay, and I respect both of them immensely, have concept in their head of 3 days of practicing direct patient care and a full day of digital planning. And that to me is like, with no disrespect, is a backwards way of thinking initially in my head as I process it, of the profitability I could have of treating a patients for a full extra day. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. And as you get into exocad, like, you're going to learn that there's rabbit holes that you can get sucked into, that you are spending just hours and days and weeks with this stuff.
Well, and my plan with exocad in that respect is to get into it enough to know, like, to see it. No, gosh, this is really everything, which I already know that it is, and then be able to understand it enough that I can talk with a designer somewhat, you know, reasonably. Because to your point, it's crazy, and that's a full time freaking job. We talk about, and for us, like, look, when we think about, okay, like, my thing right now, the big one for me is I want to be able to, patient comes in for full arch implants, we place implants. We throw on PIC scan, iMetric, something like that. We've already pre-designed their hybrid in exocad. So then we're literally putting on the dominoes, whatever, taking the intraoral scan, launch that into exocad. I just overlay that design with my pre-made design. I'm then sending that to the printer, printing it, and now I'm delivering 30 minutes later my printed temp hybrid. No more picking up this stuff, you know, all this stuff, right? And then I'm going to final. You know, either I could even go to final that day, right? Or you know, soon, within a mil. So I think that's kind of where I'm like, you're trying to get to. And that gets way outside of our typical ecosystems that we're doing. But to Darren's point is, I don't think, especially when you look at, like, and no disrespect to the guys out there doing it, but a lot of the leaders in digital dentistry don't have, one, either don't have practices, or don't have big monster practices, or don't, like, that on some level it starts to become their full-time job, because it literally can be that rabbit hole. So that's the hard part. And I think, like, I love social media, but the flip side of it is sometimes it, you know, you get like, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, it's just not intimidating, but it can make you feel like, gosh, I suck, or like, I'm dragging my feet.
We had that, like, conversation last night. Yeah, we
did. Like, man, they're killing it. And I'm like, and people look at me like, gosh, you're killing it. I'm like, yeah, well, I haven't, you know, gone out on a date with my wife in 60 days. Right. You know, so it's not always what it seems on social media, but anyways, I digress.
Can I show you through my thought on that? Because that exact conversation came up and I got gut checked by one of my friends. So I came to meet him and I just jumped off a webinar and I was like, dude, were you on the webinar? He looked at me and he was angry. It was like I'd shamed him that he wasn't on AIM, and he just went off on social media. And it, like, he says, listen, it can create a problem where people get too obsessed to show off their things. And then it makes people that aren't feeling like they're keeping up with the times and their profession. And, you know, even though they know they're good clinicians, are like, I'm already falling behind. So there's, you know, dentistry can be, you know, fun, or it can be stressful.
Yeah.
And so here's social media for me. It's just my, honestly, right now, here's where I'm at. It's just my creative outlet. You know, I showcase, you know, before and after stuff, but that's not really, you know, you can showcase before and after stuff like a book in your office.
Well, that's the other thing. Then there's like two steps of social media. That's the part that kills me too. Yeah. Is like, there's, hey, I want to rep Sully, millennial dentist stuff. And then there's the part that's like, well, I should probably actually rep Sullivan Dental Partners.
Right, yeah.
Because that's the thing that actually pays the bills. Right.
But here's what I came up. So instead of showcasing before and after and like a book in your office and like your website before and afters, I feel like it's a more modern way. For me to just, you know, influence, inform, learn, share, innovate, connect with people all over the world. I was talking to a ceramist in Spain and then a designer in LA in the same day on the same case, just because I got on Instagram and I created a new idea for the patient, and it ultimately impacted the patient's care. So that's the type of things that kind of gave me a little juice on it. But social media has just changed the way we learn, grow, connect, on a personal, professional level, even like marketing to your consumers. So I've had patients. I'm in an engineering town. We're talking about Michelin where we met. That's a lot of French patients that are from France. I've got BMW, tons of German. I've got floor down, a lot of architects, and I've got General Electric. It's aerospace. So they understand technology. And so when I show a patient or tell them something, actually now I just say, hey, check out my Instagram page. And they understand that everybody's mobile. And honestly, I've had indirect rewards, meaning even if the patients, you know, they like and they're intrigued, they understand technology in their industry and it wows them. But I've had patients come to me because they've shown their colleague and they like technology, understand how it creates a better result. And then I was like, you know, glad to meet you, mister. You know, how'd you hear about our office? Saw your Instagram thing from my colleague when you were, cool. We were 3D printing. They're the 3D printer in their industry. And I was like, oh, cool. And that's it. So there's all these different pathways. Yeah.
Yeah, which side benefits the practice.
Side benefits.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's just creative outlet for me.
And it's funny because someone asked me last week, actually, he was a banker. And he was like, why do you basically have social media as a dentist? Like, who are you trying to market yourself to? Is it to potential patients? And I was like, no, I just kind of, you know, show what I do for other dentists, maybe try to educate former students and current students and stuff like that. And he's like, why would you market yourself to other dentists? And I started thinking about that. And I was like, that actually doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But there's all these side street benefits. So you're saying from it, but then there's a dark side. If you get too involved and you don't like paying attention to your daughter when she's trying to show you her TikTok, right. And then you realize you got to put your phone down. But then, you know, there's a double-edged sword. Yeah.
Which is probably like anything on some level, but
it's a lot of smoke and mirrors for sure. I mean, I've heard of cases and actually have a couple cases that I am going to post as soon as I finish them up where I tried to do some CAD CAMs, like big case CAD CAM stuff myself, veneer, like min prep veneer stuff, and couldn't pull it off with a couple of different mills. But was able to get the photos in such a way to make it look like it was a bomb case, right? So and then of course all you have to do is have a, you know, before and after, and people can kind of connect the dots. And but in reality, no, it didn't work.
It's like there's a wizard behind the curtain and wizard
right,
boss.
Exactly.
There's so really there's some stuff that happens people don't understand.
And I'm convinced that happens all the time. And
I totally agree. Well, the other thing too, it's challenging is you know, we're all fortunate in this room that we get a good amount of exposure with other dentists that are posting a lot on Facebook and Instagram. We've kind of know them. And we've also, because of our ability to kind of work with manufacturers, we've kind of seen the inside scoop, so to speak. And what annoys me so much is I wish that when on like Facebook, when you like, or Instagram, when you like hovered over someone's name, that like you saw like Sully, you know, spoken for Dentsply Sirona, for whatever, has this technology, you know, doesn't have this technology, like has a practice, practice does this, focuses on this, you know, that like they gave some sort of like transparency to the BS that I'm saying or not. That's whether it's good or bad or whatever. It is what it is, right? Because, you know, you get on Facebook's the worst for me because that's the one where you get on and you know, someone will post best comb beam and then it's just like, boom, you know, it's just haters, not haters, you know, or best scanner or whatever. And it's just like, you know, it's funny. That's the hard thing. What do y'all think about the new Medit?
Oh yeah.
i700 came out yesterday. Have y'all seen anything on it?
I saw Christian Brennus post on it. And actually in the car after driving up here to Nashville, Donnie said, hey, did you see the Medit? I'm like, wow, really? And you got to know that's coming, you know, because they've kind of penetrated the space and they have a pretty cool scanner. Now they're getting, you know, stuff out there. And there's always a next generation, right?
Well, and again, smaller company, adapt quicker, move a little quicker. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at that.
I want all the scanners. I wish I could have them. But, you know, Tony has access to all of them. So when I have a question or like, hey, talk me out of this, you know, or talk me into this type thing, it's nice. I got the cheat code.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you know, I've had a chance to scan with the i700. It's a nice scanner. You know, at some point, really, all the scanners became good scanners, right? Like, and it's really hard to differentiate and to try to figure out what is the best scanner. And, you know, basically it comes down to what you're going to use it for and does it have the capability to perform for you on that level. But yeah, it's fun having all those toys for sure.
I'm jealous. All right, so this is Shay, this is the inside podcast scoops, right? So like when I'm here getting to kind of like lead a podcast, right? I'm obviously thinking about, okay, what can I extrapolate from Donnie? What can I get out of Tony? What can I get out of you? What can I get out of Darren, Son, et cetera? And so like with Tony being here, like I want to start asking, like I'm already thinking, okay, what can I pull out selfishly for my own thing, right? So like one question I'm sitting here thinking of is, okay, that I want to ask him is like, obviously, Tony, you get to deal with a ton of 3D printing stuff. Y'all are doing a ton of that stuff over at MUSC. Legitimately, how far away do you think we are for printing fixed restorations like Crown and Bridge?
It's got to be within the next 5 years, right? I mean, Umbago already came out with something that's, you know, they call a definitive restorative material, which obviously I think the people who have used it early on would disagree with that a little bit. But
would you say that from this gets way out of my pay grade because I'm not the megapascal guy, but like when you get into like that sort of stuff, is it on par with what we would consider like more of our resin kind of glass, like not glass, but resin cement, like Cerasmart or what's Ivoclar's?
Tetrick.
Like an Empress or Tetracad or something like that. Is that the kind of the level we're seeing it at?
So Nate Lawson's actually testing all those materials right now to give us that answer. I don't have it for you right now. I think that will come very, very soon, but materials are evolving very quickly in that space. And I honestly think in the next 5 years, we're going to have a material, maybe even sooner than that, maybe 2 or 3 years, a material that's going to be like a pretty legit, definitive type material. I don't think it's going to be Emax quality, but something that'll hold up and be pretty durable, in an ideal patient. So it's coming, man. It's just a matter of time.
Well, and the beauty of that, I guess, when I think about like, cause with, you know, when we talk about, not to get sciencey, but when we talk about, you know, restorations, you look at, okay, Emax has basically become the gold standard for, you know, our bread and butter restoration, right? I mean, obviously zirconia is good, but when you look at aesthetics structure, Emax has been the restoration for milling an office for what, the past 15 years?
10, 12, 15 years, yeah.
And when I look at, okay, what, because I got to do some stuff with Tessera, one of the dense bus runner blocks, right? And my challenge with that block is I kept saying, okay, well, what is it bringing? What problem is it solving for us as a dentist? Like, that's the question I always ask when I, you know, look at a new piece of technology or new whatever is, what problem is this solving or how is it helping me? And to me, one of the only downsides to Emax is marginal chipping. You know, that seems to be the weak link in Emax, in my opinion. And so that's where I think printing could be really cool. Because I mean, talk about the level of micron, you know, accuracy that we could be printing is pretty slick.
Yeah, and the reality is if you look at the cost of a printer compared to a mill, like,
oh my gosh,
bringing that level of affordability to the masses would be huge, huge. So that's the part that I'm excited about. As someone who teaches dental students, and these guys graduate with a ridiculous amount of debt these days, you know, they always ask me, Doc, you know, I have X amount of dollars in debt.
Where do I put it?
Right. Yeah. And how long, like, I love that I get to be taught CAD/CAM dentistry, but realistically, I'm not going to be able to purchase that for
let's do this.
Years.
This is kind of fun. Let's go around the room and you got, cause obviously we have a ton of like young listeners that listen to the podcast, a lot of students and whatnot. Let's go around the room. Darren, we'll start with you since you're the other one.
Friend,
we'll phone our friend in.
Where is he?
What's the one?
Lisa, go check on him.
Yeah, Lisa,
falling asleep in there.
One piece of technology, the first piece of technology that you're buying if you're a new grad in a new practice.
So can I answer that two ways?
No.
Can I tell you? Okay.
No. That's a very dare response.
That's a very situational thing. And I think my practice is a good example of that. The first piece of technology that we bought was a hard and soft tissue laser because I'm in a very dense downtown Nashville location and I have patients walk over to my office so they take an hour off of work. So they need time efficiency and they also needed to not be numb for the next 3 hours because they probably had a conference call or something else. So we brought that in at first, 2 years into practice, well, a year and a half into practice ownership, to meet that need, because that was the biggest need that we saw.
So, you were doing fillings without anesthetic?
Yeah, a lot of them. Class two posteriors, I don't do that so much anymore.
What laser was this?
It was a Waterlase I Plus.
Wow. And
we still use it. I think we've probably done 20 or 30 tongue tie releases with it just this year. And you're talking about an 8 or 9 year old piece of technology at this point that's still functioning and working very well. But it met the need that we saw in front of us. So I think the answer to the question is, like, what would I recommend a new grad buying is you need to do an assessment of what your patients need, what you kind of want to do should be part of that equation as well, because this is the time you should be exploring things and developing. But I wouldn't, without understanding somebody's situation, I wouldn't make a recommendation to them. All of these pieces of technology, classic, whether it's CAD-CAM or CBCT, yeah, or what, or I mean, even something down to a diode laser. A diode laser is a powerful thing to have in the office, but it's also a pretty big expense for a new grad with hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt. And so it's impactful. So you need to make an assessment of what you need and what your patients need before you decide.
Do we all have lasers in here? What do you got, Shay?
Diode.
You have a diode? Donnie?
I don't have a laser anymore.
Donnie doesn't have a laser. Do you have electrosurge or something like that?
Yeah, electrosurge.
You use it?
A little bit, not often.
Don't really. Trough, pack a lot of cord?
No, haven't packed cord in
just
10 years.
Just keep it high and dry?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Electrosurge. All right. Tony?
I have electrosurge as well. Yeah.
No lasers, though?
No.
That's interesting.
We do at the university. I don't in my practice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love my. We have the Waterlase I Plus. We have Paralase. That's another conversation for another day. But we're big laser guys. All right. I like that, Darren.
What was his final answer? I didn't get.
What was the final answer?
Like, you did ask a long question.
Should we let him talk and then mute him?
Yes. It's like the sound effect.
I think no comment is where he landed.
No, I think, yeah. No, I do think he's. And he kind of alluded to what I was kind of talking to you about earlier about, like, I want this profile of people. Like, I do agree that that's the other thing that I wish people had to do when they posted questions like, which scanner is the best? Is I wish that they would say, like, I practice in, you know, Bum Whatever, Tennessee. I'm PPO practice, one doctor, two hygienists. I have 70,000 patients because they don't have anywhere else to go. And I hate implants. Like, what scanner should I get? Right? Like, I feel like that's more helpful information. So I do agree that I think it is important what Darren said, that it's important to take a little bit of inventory of yourself of what you want. But anyways, that wasn't what I wanted to hear. That's fine. Donnie, you go next.
Yeah, man. I you know, it's crazy. I think you have an impossible question. I would say scanner, and
let me interrupt you. It is impossible, but it's a reality of a question.
I get it.
Like, we all have to think about that. All of us have kind of, we grew up and it wasn't out, but like, this is a real thing that people have to deal with right now, is when you graduate $400,000 loans, you just bought a practice, and now you're like, well, shit, what do I buy? You do have to start to figure out, what do you buy first? Yeah.
I mean, I think your intraoral digital scanner is your gateway drug to digital dentistry. I think that has to be, and it's the reason why you see so many companies come out with this product. It's the lowest barrier to entry. But the reason it's an impossible question is, if your interest lies in digital dentistry, and I think the generation coming out is going to almost be forced to.
Right. I agree.
They won't have a choice. If you really want to go down that path, and some of the struggle with a lot of these doctors when they get out and they get sold something is they don't have enough other pieces to connect the dots, and it's never a functional enough, ecosphere to actually produce what they need to. Does that make sense? I mean, you can get a scanner and pretty soon realize that to do most of what you need, you also have to have a cone beam. Right. I would say scanner. But I would not open another practice and not put a cone beam, mill, and scanner and printer in it from day one.
I have to agree. I think the intraoral scanner is where you begin. I think that's a good way to I mean, be able to market your practice as digital as well, because it's the thing that you'll probably use the most. I mean, we have an iTero in our private practice. Every new patient gets an iTero scan right off the bat. They're introduced to the fact that we love technology from day one. And I think that is the way that you can kind of begin the process of marketing yourself as a digital dentist. And you have to have that that data input, right, to digitize that patient to do really anything else along those digital workflows for the most part. So I think that's where I would start personally.
Jay?
All right, I'm going to save everybody a lot of money.
Uh-oh, let's go.
All right, so you're talking about what's the first piece of tech?
Jay's like, get out of here with all those answers.
I love everything, and I have a lot of toys. Camera. Start with a chairside intraoral camera. And then, you know, SLR. So you'll be able to plan.
Yeah, so I want to jump in there, and I want, I'm with you. Obviously, T-Bone's one of my buddies, and that's always, you know, his response is the camera. But I will say this. I think we've got to, on some level, be done with the intraoral camera. I think it's a crutch for a lot of people, is they think that like they can get this intraoral camera and they're going to use to take pictures. And it's like, intraoral camera is just as expensive as a daggum DSLR camera, just about, or like you can get a nice camera. So like my thing is just like, just jump to the camera.
Yeah. We found some little, I agree with that. To a certain degree, we found some cheap intraoral cameras because we had that problem. You know, high dentist would drop it, or you know, it would fall off the counter, and then you've got this expensive piece of equipment, and you're like, "Why don't you have an intraoral picture of this broken, you know, cusp?" When I walk in the room, you know, you show the patient, and you're already talking before we get there. But we found some cheap ones that perform very well. But chairside intraoral camera SLR, 100%. So you'll be able to plan, educate your patient, and then self reflect, learn from your cases. Okay, so that's the first piece of tech I think anyone should buy. Then
I'm going to agree with you on that one. I think the camera is the most important.
Okay. So then let me just tell like my journey. In my journey, I think I would change it now that I know what I know. So I started with intraoral scan. Actually, I started with CAD CAM, but let's back up. Now the market really is intraoral scanners and not, you know, a CAD CAM system.
Oh, we could do a whole episode on that.
Yeah. So intraoral scanners, you know, there's so many we were talking about, but I started with CAD CAM and that was my gateway drug. And then I got a CBCT and then a 3D printer, but I would do it opposite now. I'll do a 3D printer next because you got your CAD CAM, intraoral scans, you can print your models, and you could do some stuff, right? But the CBCT would be the last big piece, you know, a tech to buy, because then you can do other stuff. And then software, you mentioned it, the last thing, you know, getting to higher level software is kind of growing beyond your basic stuff, but, you know, BSB, D3 tool, ExoCAD, 3Shape, all this stuff. But then lastly, you know, there's all that stuff to really process and think about, but that's what's so cool about it. And that's, you know, why we love digital. You know, I think the future is AI. It's going to lower the barrier for all these learning curves, and then everyone's going to be doing it.
That makes me think about robotics.
AI is where all this, you know, the learning curve is in the software sometimes where people just don't survive.
And that's what I tell you about 3D
AI
printing.
AI is changing 3D everything.
3D printing is the easy part. It's the design that's the difficult.
You're going to click a button and it's going to design it for you. And you're going to like click one more button and it's going to go to the printer. And then, you know, you're not going to have the 10, 20 minutes and then export, import, mesh mixer, wizardry, come back, import.
Wizardry.
You know, and then go to the mad scientist lab with your Tupperware and all this stuff. Like it's going to go scan, hit a button, it'll be there. I think it'll say, Alexa, make a number three crown ceramic. You know, you say your prescription and then it'll show up. In a package in your mail, or a drone will drop it off.
That was the fastest move from intro camera to Alexa.
That's what a gateway drug does, man.
See, you know, like, get me started, man. I have all kind of crazy ideas, but that would be my list.
That was good. Darren, where are you? I feel like I hear Darren piping up in there.
Yeah, yeah.
he didn't have the ability to like wink at us that he's wanted to talk.
Yeah. I'm going to start waving at you from around the corner. Yeah. So it's really interesting to me.
By the way, I'm going to go find Darren and take a picture of him. I'll
post it. It's really interesting to me because none of us said CBCT until Shay said it. And Shay told a story about how he would bump it further down the list. And we're all dentists in this room, but my business manager at our office, who is amazing, would tell you CBCT all day long, every day, because you will learn a lot, you will learn so much, and it will make you money in all of the areas of dentistry.
See, I agree with that. That's where my response, Darren, would have been, after camera would have been Combeam for that reason, because I think Combeam cash flows everything else. You know, you don't, scanners are great, but scanners don't really cash flow. I mean, at some point they do. I mean, they're going to save you alginate and PVS and expensive stuff. And then ultimately, if you're in office milling, you're saving lab bills and temporaries, but you can get all that shit. So it's cheap now that it doesn't cash flow. Whereas Combeam, if you're placing implants, which the reality of is kind of like you were saying, Donnie, you're not going to graduate, not have this technology at some point. You're also, very few people are graduating now and not having interest in placing implants. I think that's obviously a big wave of our generation too, is we want to place implants, and rightfully so from that regard. But I think those are good. It's just a challenging question, and it is an impossible question on some level, like you said, but I think it is something that people are having to deal with. Now, I got to be careful about what I say here, obviously, in full transparency of the people that support me. But, you know, there's lots of different ways to get into this technology too, right? I mean, that's the thing you kind of got to waver and figure out is, okay, what, where do I go? How do I start? Et cetera. But I'll leave it at that. Piss people off. Okay.
Buy everything. That's the final answer.
Yeah, buy everything. Yeah. Well, here's what I want to do. We're coming up on 46 minutes. Like,
Can't afford not to.
Is really where I feel like this has been a good, and again, I'm talking out loud, Shay, just because I think that's kind of the fun part about this, but I've found is that from a listener's point of view, you know, the sweet spot is definitely between 35, 45 minutes an episode. You can be shorter for sure, but I do think people like to kind of get into stuff, and it's hard to get into stuff sometimes and be less than 30 minutes. Once you get beyond that, I think it can get long. What I like to do is, like, obviously, we're going to keep going and we'll keep talking. I know you want to do some stuff too, but I think it's good to, a lot of times we'll break things up into episodes, like parts. So, like, you know, hey, this is part one. We'll pick up part two later. You can tune in and listen to the episode. Cause at this point, what I'd love to talk about at some point is where y'all are at, kind of piggybacking off that question. And I'll kind of tease this for maybe another episode, either on Shay's podcast, or on this one, but is where does it make sense? Are you still jumping into the milling and office pool and CAD CAM, or are you just jumping into intraoral scanning? And does it matter? And does the scanner choice you select at this point matter based off your desire or not desire to mill in office? And I'll kind of set that up and tease that with my thing is, as much as we're all about technology, we also have to be thinking about how are we, because, and y'all know me, I want to talk business. That's what I want to talk about, is, well, how are we being consumer driven? And what does the patient of today and tomorrow want? And what are they driving? Because ultimately the patient's, better or for worse, we think we're driving it, but ultimately the patient's driving it. So stay tuned for more of that good stuff. All right.
Awesome. I loved it.
All right, everybody, work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.